Good to see everybody present here this morning on this day that at least our society recognizes as Father's Day. And what's good about this day on Father's Day is that there are fathers that gather on their brother's day, Revelation 1 verse 10, the Lord's Day, to remember their father, to worship their father and their brother in spirit and in truth. That are raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6 and verse 4, recognizing the responsibility that they have. That's what's good about this Father's Day, but also about every true Lord's Day and every day of the week. Those that recognize that responsibility. We have a box in the back where questions are put in for topics of lessons and so forth. Sometimes suggestions, sometimes just some edification. And they're greatly appreciated. The one that we have before us today is where God says at the very beginning, let there be light. And the question is, how could there be light on the first day when the sun, moon, and stars were not created until the fourth day? And I would tell you that this passage of Scripture has been looked at by those that do not believe in God. The question that was asked by the one that asked it is a believer in God, but is not asking it because of their unbelief, but because of a desire to understand. And that is admirable. And it's not only admirable from the fact that they want to know, but also, and I believe this to be the case, that they can explain it also to those that don't believe. Because people say that that's not possible. It shows the inconsistency of the Scriptures. But I believe we're going to see in this lesson that's not necessarily the case. And so as we look at this, we see that there are two passages that we want to look at in connection with this. Genesis 1 verses 1 through 5 to start with. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. And then we come down to verses 14 through 19. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and for years, and let them be lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good, so the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Thus, the question that was asked, how could there be light without the sun, without the moon? And so we want to consider this, and in doing so, I think we need to consider words that are used. And in connection with that, when we look in Genesis 1 verses 1 through 5, some words that I have in bold here. First of all, created, without form, void, darkness, and the deep. When we think about this, that word created, that it has something that is gives us an understanding of something new, something from nothing. And the word is used, of course, by people today that write great musical songs or symphonies and so forth, great artists that paint wonderful paintings and so forth, that they have created a work of art. They created nothing. But it's used in the sense of the creative aspects of man, which again is not something from nothing, but shows ingenuity instead. But when we think about God, it is absolute creation. And we need to keep that in mind as we look at how to answer this particular question that's been posed before us today. And that something came into the existence It had never been seen before, never existed before, and it came about not from substance that already existed, but from nothing. And we think about that, and it even includes the vacuum of space. Astronauts go up into outer space today, and there's weightlessness, and there is that vacuum that is there, absence of atmosphere, nothing that would sustain life. And yet, that itself is created. That expanse. And we think about that from the standpoint of the power of God. But we also see another word, that it was, that the earth was without form. In other words, from that Hebrew word tohu, it was nothing. That in what did exist was created something that had never existed, and that is this temporal existence that we all enjoy and are trials to us. It never existed before. It came about from that which was nothing, and it was void. There was an emptiness. There was an emptiness, and that from the Hebrew word bohu. An emptiness that was there, but something was put in the place of the emptiness. Something was put in place of the nothingness. And then we also see that there was darkness. There was obscurity. That in that place where God chose, and place is not even the correct word, and it's so hard to even put in terms in connection with creation, the aspects of creation, because it's so far above our understanding. Let me just be honest with you. Whenever I think about creation, even when I think about eternity, my head hurts. Well, how did eternity start? It didn't start. It just is. Where did God come from? He didn't come from anywhere. He just is. And I don't think on it too long. There is an acceptance that is there from the standpoint of faith, because if I think on it too long, my head does hurt. The inability really to fathom aspects of God and eternity. It's not given man to experience it while he's here in this bubble that God has created in this temporal existence. But rather it is that which is hoped for, so that we can be with God when this life is over. And so there was then this nothingness, this emptiness, this obscurity, this darkness, and it was on the face of the deep. And that word means upon nothingness. And it's just words in connection with an aspect of repeating to get the point across to us that what we are in today, this existence, this universe, this temporal bubble that God has created, came about from nothing. And not only that, it also shows the power of God. It shows the power of God. And he didn't need the building blocks of anything to create this existence and life. As a matter of fact, he is the building block of it all. He's the building block of it all. It is the ultimate condition. When you think about this without form, void, darkness, and deep, it is the ultimate condition without God's intervention. And we see in John 1, verses 4 and 5, in him, speaking of Jesus, who did the creative work, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. He puts that, of course, into a spiritual aspect of the coming of the Messiah into the world, but also there's a truth in connection with this, that except for there being the presence of God, there is the nothingness, the emptiness, the obscurity, the darkness. I think this helps us to have somewhat of an understanding in connection with this. As we go on and we look at other words that are here, let there be light. Day one, light. From the word ore, illumination or heat, the caloric content that produces life includes latent heat. we're going to use this as opposed to what is stated later on in the 14th and 15th chapter. Especially in connection with this caloric content that produces life, the latent heat, the illumination of that heat that existed even before there was the sun and the moon. And again, let's put this back into context. It is because of God's intervening into this emptiness to create something from nothing. We think about this. More than the heavenly body, our moon is one of the brightest objects in the sky. Interestingly, our moon does not emit light in the visible spectrum. But instead, the moon's infrared light Instead, the moon shows forth in infrared light. I want you to consider that. And this is from sciencetimes.com if you want to read that. There's a whole article on that aspect. That when the earth started to come together, that in this bubble that God created, He created the building blocks for life itself by creating heat. And even latent heat, which was void before that time. And you can go into outer space today, and in that vacuum that is in outer space, you would say there is absolutely no heat that is there, and it is far below zero, cold. And yet, as the asteroids go by, as the planets go by, there's latent heat that is there, even within them. God intervened so that there would be that life-giving heat. God, on the first day, intervenes the darkness with His being, with His light. When we think about this from 1 John 1 and verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. In His creative work on that day one, God created, again, those building blocks for life where there was that latent heat that came into existence, whether visible or invisible. A latent heat that was there so that life would come about. And God put that in place. When we look in John, the first chapter, verse 6 through 9, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to everyone, to every man coming into the world. And I recognize that the context here is about Christ coming into the world, but there's aspects of the being of God that fit so well, even with the very beginning of this universe. That God came in intervening into the void, into the darkness, into the emptiness. And from that, the life building blocks were set in place even from day one, where there was light, where there was heat. And again, we see that Jesus had His work in that. Just the presence of God upon the deep darkness produced that latent light that still exists and will until the end. When we look in Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Which I believe would include this latent heat, which would go back even to the infrared spectrum. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him, and is before all things, and in Him all things consist. By speaking the universe into being, there is the enduring nature of this universe, of this bubble of temporal existence that is held together just by the power of God say, let there be. And so we have, I think, some aspect of an understanding when God said, let there be light. We also see that He called the light day and the darkness night in verses 3 through 5. So the evening and the morning was the first day. Day one, the word day. from the Hebrew word yom, which means time or period. In this vacuum of nothingness, God set that which had never existed before, and that was time. It was a period that was set forth there rather than just the eternal existence that is the absolute true and the nature of God Himself. And He made this artificial temporal existence for us so that we would live in a time period. Time came into existence and it was divided day, but also night. And that word, Lela, night, there in Genesis, the first chapter, means to roll up. And I think we understand that aspect from the standpoint of day to night, that day then is rolled up, night comes. And yet, even though night comes, there's still light. And we'll see more aspects in connection with this just a little bit later, but there is still the infrared spectrum, there is still the heat that exists even though there is night. We see that time came into existence on day one, and I don't know if there could be other words that could be used to express the thought of day and night, and the morning and the evening were the first day, as we see in verse 5 of Genesis, the first chapter, that here the representation is not light like we see, but rather a representation of time coming into existence. And that happened on day one. And in connection with that, there was that latent heat from the warmth-giving God Himself by intervening into the nothingness and creating something. Note Paul's statement in Athens, and in Acts the 17th chapter, verses 24 and 25, God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. God, in setting forth time, again set forth the building blocks in order for man's existence to be realized here in this temporal world. He set that forth. There is a set temperature or heat for all living things and a latent heat or energy even in inanimate objects. You think about that, uranium, coal, granite, common, ordinary, and igneous rock contains all the energy that civilization can use. The energy is in a single ton of granite is equal to 50 tons of coal. The same rock holds immense quantities of valuable metals. Some of us have granite tabletops at home. You understand that there's an energy inside that that's created by the presence of God at creation. Why don't we just extract that? Capabilities of man are not there to do it, and even if it was possible, it'd be prohibitive from a standpoint of cost to make it usable for us. But the fact of the matter is that they are indicators, they are evidence of creation by a creator, God Himself, that put heat even into inanimate objects. Consider this: 100 tons of granite, a chunk somewhat larger than an automobile, contains 8 tons of aluminum, 5 tons of iron. Other ingredients include 2 tons of magnesium, 180 tons of manganese, 70 pounds of chromium, 40 pounds of nickel, 30 pounds of vanadium, 20 pounds of copper, 10 pounds of tungsten, and 4 pounds of lead. And that's from newenergy.org if you'd like to look that up. And a chunk of rock. And you think about the existence of this universe coming into being and the God of light, the God of heat, the God of life-giving, by creating there that first day and dividing the heat in night and day, that latent light that was even there, that latent heat that was even there, is still seen today in inanimate objects. Now let's move to the 14th chapter in verse 19. Consider the words that are used here. Let the lights in the firmament. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, so the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Think about this. First of all, he says it was a great light that he put, two great lights, prominent lights. This would be opposed to the light of the latent heat that he created on day one. This is something different. And it also says lights, not light, which is different also, as we see in verse 3. Not ore, light, but maorah, illuminaries, verses 14 through 19. Now we understand it more from the standpoint of heat and even in the infrared spectrum to that which was luminescence gives light the ability to see in darkness. That which overcomes darkness itself. That was created now as we come down to the fourth day. The prominent luminaries of the day, the sun, and of the night, the moon, produced the seasons also. We think about that. So light, heat, life-giving existed on day one by God intervening into darkness, into the nothingness. He has set time in motion and gave prominent lights to sustain mankind. The sun for warmth, the moon for growth, and stars for direction. And you think about the sailors of old. They didn't have the electronic equipment that they have today, no GPS, nothing like that. How did they navigate to get around? How were they not just wandering on the expanses of the oceans for a whole lifetime once they set sail and got away from their homeland? How could they possibly do that? Well, it goes back to the stars. And God placed them there in certain areas in order for direction. And that sun that he placed for us, even though we're going to be complaining about it come August, as a matter of fact, I'm already complaining about it right now, if it wasn't for that sun that was there, we would not have life upon this earth. And the moon, even with its circling of the earth, has effects upon us, including the tides of the ocean. And also of planting seasons and so forth. If you ever got an old farmer's almanac before, you'll see that there are times where you can plant vegetables by the dark of the moon, by the light of the moon. It has an effect upon how they grow. And I'll tell you what, I'm a believer in that. Beverly and I, we planted gardens for years when the kids were growing up. We were concerned about our health back then. We don't care now. But we did all of that, and it works. And that by God and his intervention into this life that we are living now. Our spiritual application in all of this. God gives direction and warmth. Just as the great lights, not light, but lights, the sun and the moon were set in place. Those luminaries that were there, God gives us direction and warmth. John 1 and verse 9. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. And he's not talking about the sun. We can look up and we see the evidence of God's light because of the sun, the moon, stars, and so forth. The sun doesn't give us any direction whatsoever. The stars really don't give us direction other than coordinates here upon this earth. But what Christ Jesus did, that true light, he's the true light that came into the world. He gives direction not for coordinates here upon this earth, but to heaven. We think about that. God gives fellowship to us. 1 John 1 verses 5 through 7, by that light. This is the message that we have from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It goes all the way back to the beginning. The reason that there is fellowship with God is the intervention of Christ Jesus into this world. The reason that there is life on this earth is that God intervened and set time in motion at the very beginning. In the beginning, God created. And we also see it produces life. This light produces life. 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 10. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And now we have that warmth and we have that direction and we have that growth that we can experience that produces true life. Not just the temporal here upon this earth, but the true life that will carry those that will follow it into eternity itself. It is glorious. This light is glorious. It comes from God that directs us today through his word. 2 Corinthians 4 verses 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ Jesus, who is the image of God, should shine on them. We open up our hearts, we open up our minds to the light of the glorious gospel, and we have direction and warmth and growth that is in God. And this light defeats ignorance. The true light, Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, who are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What light does is take away the ignorance, takes away the darkness. God intervened at the beginning in the physical aspects. God continues today in the spiritual aspects of taking away ignorance and creating illumination into the hearts of those that will receive his word. Day one at creation. Day one, God made time. God's intervention of just in the presence of the void of the darkness and the deep gave a latent heat that would be the building blocks of life itself. Day four, God set forth two lights, prominent lights, one to rule over the day and one to rule over the night. I think we have an understanding that we can come to. Maybe others can explain it better than I, but this is the way that I understand it. So there was light at the beginning in the form of heat, in the form of the presence of God, just in God intervening into the nothingness. And then on day four, he sets forth, in that expanse of time, two greater lights. One over the day, one over the night, which sustains life here upon this earth as long as God intends for it to be here. But the main thought about the light is Christ Jesus. It is interesting, isn't it, that it was Christ that did the creative work. Colossians 1, 16 and 7, Hebrews, the first chapter, verses 1 and 2. John, the first chapter, verses 1 and 2. And in Christ Jesus, we can become a new creation in him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, he's still the light giver and still the creator of new life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new in Christ Jesus. The question is, do you this morning have the light of God shining in your heart and in your mind? If you're not a child of God, you need to recognize that you're in a dark state and there's not life in darkness. But if you will open your mind to Christ Jesus, if you'll open your heart to him, if you will look into his word, his instruction, his direction unto him and unto life eternal, then you will have hope and you'll have life. And that is the same for those that are children of God. We cannot be sustained except by the light of Christ Jesus. Is He sustaining us? If there are those we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.